Have you ever had a cluttered heart, or maybe a cluttered mind? I don't necessarily think that clutter is a bad thing. I think clutter could be good if your life is cluttered with people or events or blessings. But if our dining room table is cluttered to the point where you can't even sit down, then that could be a problem. And the individual things are not necessarily bad on their own. It's just when they're piling up is when it can cause tension. And I think that's the place I find myself in my heart, where there's a little bit of clutter. And typically what that means is I need to get it out. I need to teach it. I need to speak on it. I need to share with you what God's doing in my heart and my mind. And so we will be starting a new series soon. We're going to be doing a Women of the Resurrection series, and then we're going to do a Women of the Bible series, or Women of the Old Testament series. So stay tuned for that. But this week, or over the next couple episodes, we're going to clear out some of that heart clutter. I pray it's a blessing for you. Stay tuned.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like He's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear His voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's Word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. Sponsors, when they sponsor a child, have the opportunity to see firsthand the impact that you're making through letters and updates that you receive from your sponsored child. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you choose to sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get a text back with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or girl to sponsor. When you sponsor, we'll also send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my book, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me and sponsoring a child through Compassion today. Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl. And today we're going to be talking about something that I think has really been impacting the body of Christ. And that is this idea of how the enemy has a counterfeit version for what God is trying to do in and through your life. And often what we will see, both on the mission field I've seen it, and both here in the States I've seen it, where whatever God is trying to do, the enemy will pervert and have his version of it. I mean, we see that even with the attack on marriage within the culture today, or various things with the New Age movement. You know, one of the most telling times of my life when I saw this in the flesh was when I was on the mission field in Kenya, actually. And one of the things that the witch doctors would do is they would provide food for people in this one particular community, and they would pronounce a curse on that food. And so that those families, when they would cook that food, they would get sick. And I remember sitting with a pastor, a local pastor there, and we were actually getting ready to distribute food. And as they were bagging up the rice and putting them into individual bags of rice for these families, he said, "We're going to start praying a blessing over this food, because if the enemy can have the power to curse people because of the food, then God certainly can have the power to bless people because of the food." And it was so interesting, because as we were praying a blessing over this food, I didn't even think before that about the opposite being true, that as the enemy is perverting that whole system, that we as believers have the authority to stand in the gap and to speak the truth in life. And it was so amazing, because that area where that food was distributed we went out again later that week and we ministered the gospel and we saw so many people come to faith in Jesus and we heard testimonies of healing and provision and just the impact that that made on me personally. It was such a clear black and white version of what God was doing and what the enemy was trying to do. And you know, I think what we see in scripture is a very clear picture of this. We see, even with the concept of the lion, if you think about the lion, we have Jesus as the representative of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And yet we also see scripture talking about the enemy as a lion and how the lion comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And you know, recently I saw this picture and it was a painting, a beautiful painting in a friend of mine's house where one half of the lion was death and it was like a skeleton and the other half of the lion was life in these beautiful colors. And that was such a clear picture to me of how the enemy tries to pervert the truth of God's word and God's will and God's activity in your life. And as I was debating about how to even bring these things to word or to mind or to share them with you, I thought, you know, I probably need to share with you something in my own life that has happened recently. You know, I'm not sure if you have been even aware of what's been going on, but I recently left a podcast network and I'm moving to a new network because the new network, it's called Converge. I'm very excited and happy and honored to be a part of the Converge network. You're going to start hearing about that more probably a little bit later down the road. But the Converge Network is a better fit for me. It's in better alignment with my biblical worldview. And the reason I say that is because over the course of the last couple months, towards the end of last year, we had to shut off our ads on the show. And you might hear me give a Bible ad, or I'm talking about, I think, Compassion and Christian Camps right now. But our dynamic ads, we had to turn off for a long time because what was happening is the company that I entrusted my show to was not doing things the right way and allowed some really inappropriate ads to be advertised on my show. And first and foremost, I'm very upset that that happened. It is opposite of what I stand for. But I also see the way that the enemy attacked, because here we have the Hearing Jesus podcast, where the entire goal of the show is to help grow you in your spiritual life and help you walk down this road of faith. And to have ads that are contrary to that, it's clearly an attack of the enemy. But also the way that that was handled by the network was just not appropriate. And so I made the decision to leave that network and move into this new agreement with Converge. But I was thinking about the way that the enemy tries to attack, because I will be honest, when that happened, I was going to give up podcasting altogether. I wept for a couple days. I questioned the Lord. I questioned all sorts of things. And I really just felt so defeated that all the work and the energy and the effort that I've put in to growing the show and giving resources to people that need them, how the enemy kind of was really sneaky and came in under the radar and attacked. And as I was in that place wallowing in probably self-pity, my husband reminded me, he's former military, he's a US Marine, and he said, "Honey, we're at war. We're at war, and sometimes when we're at war, you lose a battle. But we have to remember that we win the war. We win the fight. And not only do we win the fight, but it's a rigged fight, that we know that God's going to win it. And so what we experience when we're at war is the attacks of the enemy. And you can't give up. You have to keep going." And I tell you what, that spoke so much to my spirit. And maybe that speaks to you, because I think we all get attacked by the enemy in different ways and in different stages of our lives. But that was a counterfeit version of what God is trying to do, or God is doing. The enemy is trying to come in and pervert that. And you know, it's interesting because I've seen this play out over the last couple of months in a variety of different ways. There was one situation I was aware of where somebody that was supposed to be in a position of leadership was really using the spiritual gifts to manipulate somebody. And it was actually as a sales pitch. It was used as a sales pitch, and it was a perversion of a spiritual gift. It was involving some witchcraft, but there was just enough truth in it from somebody that was supposed to be in a position of leadership, just enough truth to pervert God's spirit and to manipulate the other person. And it rose up in me such a fire where I got so mad at the devil. I got so mad at that situation, because I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing this grain of truth that is mixed in with a lie. And I want to unpack that in scripture a little bit, because I think it's really important for us to realize that this is a problem that's been happening for a really long time. Hey friends, with summer coming up before we know it, I wanted to share with you about one of our partners, Kids Across America Camps. For over 30 years, their mission has remained the same, to build Christian leaders by encouraging, equipping, and empowering urban youth and their mentors through camp and education. In both my own life and in the life of my daughters, camp has been a life-changing, future-altering experience. For many kids, this is not only the highlight of the summer, but their lives. Children and teens dedicate their lives to Christ. Young believers put down deep roots in the faith. The food, the games, the sports, the friends, it's so much fun. With Kids Across America Camps, many of the kids and teens they serve come from under-resourced communities. Finances are often the only thing standing between them and camp, between them and an extraordinary first meeting with Jesus. What happens if they don't get to come? Well, more of the same. Many of these kids will spend all summer in environments that will keep them from being exposed to the love of Jesus and potentially exposing them to more violence, more crime, more alcohol and drugs. But if you send them to camp, everything can change. You can give towards camper scholarships that can truly make an eternal impact in the life of one of these students. Every gift counts. Even small gifts can be paired together to help sponsor a child to go to camp. But please don't wait. Only a few weeks remain before camp starts, and we want every deserving child and teen to be able to attend. Go online to give KAACamps, that's camps with a K, .org/hearingjesus. That's KAACamps.org/hearingjesus. Now, I am reading from Romans chapter 1. I think this is the NIV I'm reading from today. And I'm going to start at verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Verse 18, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen." I want to hone in on that phrase for a minute. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. I think there's two things that I want to unpack there. The first is that sometimes what happens is there is a genuine accidental manipulation where somebody is manipulated into thinking something is from God when it's really not. Or, you know, my daughter's in college, and one of the things that has been so surprising to me, what I have learned that she has shared with me, is how popular the witchcraft era is with the tarot cards and the crystals and all those kinds of things, where people are seeking truth, but they're actually being deceived. And, you know, it's interesting. You guys know I interviewed Lee Strobel the other day, and I shared this on my story, so maybe this isn't new information for some of you. But at the end of my conversation with Lee, after we got done recording, I just asked him, you know, "Do you have time for an extra question?" He said, "Of course." And so I shared with him a question that I had, which you might find humorous. I asked him about what the deal is with the aliens, because when I answer questions all the time, I do the Q&A sessions where you guys send in your questions, all the time people have questions about aliens. And it's like on the tip of the tongue for most people. And even in Christian circles, people talk about it a lot. So this is a guy that has spent a lot of time doing a lot of research about a lot of things. And I just wanted his opinion. And to be honest, it was probably a little bit of nerves. Now that I think about, I could have asked Lee Strobel anything in the world, and that's what I chose to use. But it was so interesting because he shared with me that he is working on a book about the supernatural. And one of the things that he has come up against is also this curiosity about the aliens. So you will have to read the book to see what he actually has to say about it. But what was so interesting to me was that there is this craving to know about the supernatural. Now, people might be going about it in false ways. I mean, they are seeking this supernatural experience, this craving that they have to experience God. They're seeking it through the enemy. And the enemy has colluded and deceived them to think that they can find it in, you know, the stars instead of the one that made the stars, or in rocks and crystals instead of the one that made the rocks and the crystals. And so what we see is in our culture, it has really been the same thing as what they were experiencing back in the book of Romans, where they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they are worshiping and serving created things rather than the Creator. And so as I've been really pondering that, I think when I'm praying through, Lord, what is the solution to this? Like, how do we lean into this as believers and support each other and recognize it and call it out when it happens? I think there's a couple things that we can do. Real quickly, if you have your Bible, I want you to flip over to John chapter 10. Again, I'm in the NIV today, and this is the parable of the good shepherd and his sheep. It says, starting at verse 1, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Verse 7, "Therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." And, you know, you can go on and keep reading, but the thing I want to hone in on is two very important aspects here. The first is that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And scripture talks about how he is prowling around like a lion. There is never a day, friend, I want you to listen to me. There's never a day that the enemy of your soul does not prowl around trying to destroy your life. That is the baseline that we have to deal with living in this fallen world. This side of heaven, that is always going to be the case. The enemy, as a believer of God, the enemy will always hate you. He hates your guts. Okay, so that is the filter that you have to read everything through and understand everything through. The second half of that is the way that we tell the difference between the voice of the enemy and the voice of God is we know the voice of the shepherd. We know the voice of Jesus. The way we do that is by listening to his voice. We do that through scripture. We do that in worship. We do that in prayer. But God's voice will never contradict God's word. And so if there's some doubt about what you're thinking, if God is telling you to do something, or if you have some doubt of if he's telling you to go or telling you to stay or whatever it is, God's word will never be in contradiction with God's voice, and vice versa. God's voice will never be in contradiction with God's word. So always hold up what he's saying to the scripture and see if it's validated, if it's consistent with the nature and the character of God. The bottom line is, friends, we have to stay plugged in because that is how we will have the warning about the enemy. See, some of those friends that I talked about, those situations that I talked about, if the people involved were staying close to the voice of the shepherd, were abiding in the voice of the shepherd, there would be a warning that would go off because that's what the Holy Spirit does. I think the way that we get off track and we get off kilter is when we fall away from that voice. Maybe we're not spending the time in prayer that we need to. Maybe we're not spending the time reading God's word like we need to. And I understand that sometimes people are just deceived. I think that's part of the reason why it's so important to have accountability in our lives as we are sharing with our close friends and our close circle what God is doing in our heart and our mind. They can help us wrestle through those things, or they can pray and have discernment. Even just this morning, I was sharing something on my heart with a couple different friends, and they poured back into me, no, that's not the truth. This is God's truth. That is the voice of the enemy. You need to squash that right now. And I do the same thing for them. And you know, I was around somebody this week that reminded me of a very important thought. We often say in the ministry world that we have this God-sized hole in our heart, in our lives that we were created with because God is the only thing that can fill it. But she said, you know, I also think that we have a people-sized hole and we try to fill that with the wrong things because God created us for community. Godly community to do life together. And sometimes we chase that through social media or inappropriate relationships, but really God created us to hold each other up. Just like Aaron held up the arms of Moses, we need other believers to help us live this Christian life. And so today, that's my heart for you, that you would recognize that we have an enemy that is very real, that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And so the way that we combat that is, yes, we listen to voice of the shepherd. We are in our Bibles. We are reading. We are worshiping. We are praying. But we also have godly people in our lives that can say no or point out the truth versus the lie. So let me just leave you with that as you think about who is that in my life? Who can tell me no in my life? Or who can point out the missteps in my life? And have I allowed those people to have access to me? And if not, I would encourage you to do that. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the peace that comes from knowing you, and that even in the midst of this chaotic world that we live in, that you've given us a way where there seems to be no way, that through your Holy Spirit, by your word, you reveal your character and your nature. And we know that we have this enemy that prowls around like a lion, but yet we also know that you are the lion of the tribe of Judah, that you have given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and protect us and to empower us and to help us hear your voice. Lord, I pray for my friends that are listening today, that even right now in this moment, that they would be convicted if they need convicted, that they would be drawn to you by your Spirit through your word, and that they would hone in on your voice so they would know it. And then they would also recognize it when the counterfeit one comes. Lord, I pray for a hedge of protection around my friends, that you would keep them from the enemy, that voice in their lives, that you would squash that, Lord, give them discernment, help them to have peace when they know that they're following after what you have for them, and to be able to let go of the things that the enemy has for them. God, I thank you and I praise you for the way that you long to come into our lives and to work in and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey friends, before you go, real quick, I want to let you know that we have extra resources at shehears.org to help you grow in your faith. Whether you're looking for a new Bible or Bible tabs or additional Bible studies, I've curated a selection of some of my favorite things that I think you're really going to love. So with Easter coming up, I want to offer you 10% on the store. If you go to shehears.org and go to our shop on the resources page, you can enter the code HEARINGJESUS for 10% off between now and Easter. Happy shopping! Hey friends, if this podcast helps encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.